to the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. We're going to consider our position and work as Christians. And this is a very good place to read. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, I'm going to read from verse 9, at least through 14 right now. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. You know, there's certain things under the law, you know, that don't eat certain things and so on. That's what it's talking about. It says in verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, in keeping those things of the Old Testament and things. It's different. We have an altar. And verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. It's speaking of the sacrifices that were ordained of God in the Old Testament. And of course, we know all them sacrifices pictured Jesus. Well, it says they were burned without the camp. Verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Yes, we're looking for a city to come. Praise the Lord. The heavenly, the New Jerusalem. Our position is defined by the position of our Lord. And this is a very important thing that I want us to consider tonight, that our position is defined by the position of our Lord. So this makes it simple and it makes it settled. In 1 John 4:17, we read, for as he is, so are we in the world. As he is, so are we in the world. Now, this doesn't say, as he is, we shall, that so shall we be in the world to come. But it's saying that so are we. It's not something to come to pass, but are we in this world? This is a double fact, our place before God and our place in this present world. Jesus suffered without the gate, especially it's referring to Jerusalem, but also to the all those strict things of the Old Testament that were ordained of God at that time. And Jesus suffered without the gate. The apostle here exhorts believers to go forth unto him without the camp. The cross of Jesus closes the connection with the religious camp of Judaism. Now you might say, well, now how is that? And what is that? Because he fulfilled all those things. They were ordained of God in the Old Testament, But Jesus came and he fulfilled all those things. That's why we are not to keep those feasts and all of those restrictions about food and everything like that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have an altar. And all those who desire to follow him must go outside where he is. How else could we follow him if we're trying to still keep those things that of the Old Testament? That's not following Christ. No. Jesus suffered without the gate that he might sanctify, and to sanctify means to set apart to God, that he might sanctify or set apart to God the people with his own blood, as we read here in verse 12, with his own blood. So what follows then? What is the necessary practical result? It says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. But what is the camp? Well, primarily it's speaking of Judaism, that legal system with its ordinance and with its ceremonies, which God himself has set, had set up at that time, but he has set them aside because of Jesus. Judaism, with all is its rituals, its priesthood and sacrifices, they are now set aside. We have the reality. Those things were just a shadow of things to come, but we have the reality in Christ. Because all those things pointed unto him, especially the sacrifices. Then, so what can be said of the religious organizations which have rebuilt those things of the Old Testament and saying that we have to keep them, that we have to be under them? What does that say then? Aren't we told it was set aside? He fulfilled. Hallelujah. Our Lord Jesus is outside of all of that. And it is the place of rejection and reproach unto which we are called. You know, this isn't a popular message, but praise the Lord, it's the Word of God. And we mark the words here, let us go forth. Some may mistakenly think that they have to stay inside the camp and they have to work there. And many religious organizations would have us think that way. But no. Praise the Lord. God has set those things aside and we have an altar. We have Jesus. Jesus is outside the camp as sure as he is on the throne of God. Any work inside the camp, we know by Scripture, is just wood, hay, and stubble, instead of the gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, we're going to keep our place in Hebrews, but I want to read from 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and these are important words that back up what this lesson is talking about. And in the 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians, I'm going to start reading with the 11th verse and read down through 15. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. Well, it doesn't take too much to understand that the wood, hay, and stubble, if it's tried by fire, that burns up, right? But the gold, silver, and precious stone, they abide. So verse 14, we read, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Now, isn't that the wonderful grace of God? Just by obeying his word, that it shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, now this is talking to believers. If the works that they have done, thinking that they're earning their way, shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. What does it mean, loss? Not salvation, but loss of reward. See, the ones that a work abides shall receive a reward. But those that are burned shall suffer loss of reward. But what does it say then? But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Praise the Lord. He may suffer loss of reward, but he himself shall be saved. The Lord knows those that belong to him. So he commands us, we're going back to our 13th chapter of Hebrews. He commands us to go forth, and the all-important thing for each saint is to be exactly where the Lord would have us to be. I can't say to you where you should be. You can't say to me where I should be. But what is an important thing for each one of us is to be exactly where the Lord would have us to be. We want to please our precious Lord, and we want to obey the scriptures. It's God's word. And any show, and that's what it is lots of times, keeping religious things, it's a show. And if we depend upon that, it's just works of the flesh. If we're depending on some show that looks like, oh, that's a religious person, it's just works of the flesh. And does it magnify God? No, it magnifies self instead of God being glorified. But we are not to be idle either. I don't want to be misunderstood that we are to be idle. No. What then? What are we to do then? We find there's a clear answer in verse 15. So we'll read verse 15 of our chapter. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Praise the Lord. We're not to be idle. And this is a very elevated character of work. And that is offering the sacrifice of praise to God. This sacrifice is most acceptable unto him. We read in Psalms 50, verse 23, whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me. That's what God says. Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me. That's Psalm 50, verse 23. Our natural wisdom would put work in first place. That's just the way we think sometimes in the natural. We think our work is the most important. Well, what is the most important is what we read right here in this 15th verse. It's offering the sacrifice of praise. And then what's the next word? Continually. Continually. Not just when things go smoothly, the way things that we like, that, oh, it's pleasant to us, but God is glorified when his people live in the atmosphere of praise. We can be going through severe trial, but we're trusting him that he's doing a work in us, so we can praise him. We can thank him that he loves us so that he's doing a work in us. It gives a heavenly tone, we might say, to our character. And do we not read in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord, what? Always, always. Again, I say, rejoice. Sometimes we can't say, oh, I'm going through a trial, praise the Lord. But we can rejoice in the Lord, can't we? He hasn't changed. And praise the Lord, we look unto him, we're trusting him. Nothing is so unworthy of a Christian to be fretful, to be gloomy, to have a sour spirit that dishonors God. We're trusting him, aren't we? We're believing him. So let us not overlook the words of this 15th verse. The two words it begins with, it says, by him. By him. And yes, offer our sacrifice of praise by the hand of our great high priest, because he's ever at the presence of God for us. Jesus presents our sacrifice of praise unto God. Isn't that good to think about that? Yes. It is ever acceptable coming from his priestly hand. Not as it proceeds from us with our imperfections, but ascending to God in all the fragrance that belongs to Christ. And the fragrance of Christ is precious unto God. Praise the Lord. So we offer the sacrifice of praise by him. Praise the Lord. May we be greatly encouraged to cultivate a spirit of praise for our Lord God. Secondly, it is also our privilege to do good works of faith, not works of the flesh, trying to earn our way and be acceptable to God, but good works of faith, trusting him. Let's read verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. We're passing through a world of misery. It's getting more miserable all the time. And it's a place of sin and of death and of sorrow. And sometimes we're surrounded by broken hearts and crushed spirits. So living the Christian life has responsibilities. We have all heard the saying, what would Jesus do? That's not a bad saying. Christianity is a living reality. It's not just a boast. It's not keeping of the works of the flesh. But Christianity is to be a living reality. Not a set of principles that you have to keep all these things. It's not a set of ordinances that have to be done in a dreary formality. No, it is life, an eternal life, implanted by the Holy Spirit, expressing itself in these two forms: praise to God, works of faith, praise to God, and doing good to man. What does that remind you of? Didn't Jesus say that he was asked what is the greatest commandment? And he said, first of all, the most important, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second one is likened unto it, and that is how we treat our neighbor. Doing good to our neighbor. I didn't quote it word for word, but that's the essence of it. Yes. Amen. Thank you. When Jesus lived here on earth, he lived here in an atmosphere of praise, and he went about doing good. That's what we read all through the Gospels. He went about doing good. And isn't that a wonderful pattern for us? And if we yield to that life, his life, it will be manifested. And we will do good unto others. And we will be pleasing unto God, first and foremost. He is our life. And he is the model for our life. Praise the Lord. We should be a living expression of Christ. We should be a living expression of Christ. And how is that possible? By the power of the Holy Spirit, yielding to God, and he will perform that in us. I'm going to read from the book of Romans. I think this is our last verses I want to read. And that's in the 14th chapter of Romans. And I want to read verse 17 and 18. 14th chapter, verse 17 and 18. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable unto God and approved of men. That pretty well sums it up, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, we don't want to just be Christians by name. I'm a Christian. We don't want to just be Christian in name. But we want to be followers of Christ in reality. And his life should be manifested in us and through us. Praise the Lord. Let us be known to God and to man as having life, light, and love. Because all else is what? It's just vanity. All else is just vanity. Well, that's all I have tonight. Unless you have some comments, well, I welcome them. Amen. That's true. Yes. Well, you remembered that, didn't you? It had an impression on you. Praise the Lord. Well, I think we've all known ones that they think because their parents are Christians, that means they're Christians. But this is an individual matter. Anyone else have anything you want to add? Yes, amen. He is well pleased. Praise the Lord.